Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm saying!
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN uses the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy birthday, Sammy.
Thank you. I am 32. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 32.
I'm almost 32. I've been referring to myself as 32 for like 6 months.
Really? You know, it's funny because I feel like the whole past year was lost. So like I did not have a 31st year, but you know, it's fine. I will say that like on the other side of vaccination and just like as things are getting more normal and the weather's good and you can like see more people, the beauty of it really like it's like seeing things in like vibrant color, like things that you just like going out and sitting at like a restaurant outside still for me is just like the greatest thing.
Yeah, like, I was saying to you this morning that I also just hung out with friends over the weekend, still outdoors, and I felt like I was in a music video. I was like, yeah, this is like, the best.
Right. It's like these, it's like you would have taken, I definitely took all these things for granted. Like, oh, we're going to hang out. Like, I have to leave.
Right. Oh, it's my birthday. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I have to have a thing. And now I'm like, you know what? Like, we got to celebrate life. It's good.
Totally.
We had friends over that were all vaccinated as well. And it was like the first time, like, to be inside with people and not like, have something in the back of your head like, oh gosh,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was that's like a perfect personification of like that thing that's been in the back of all of our brains, like that slight guilt. Like I know no one's gonna get COVID in this, but I wouldn't post about it.
Ugh. Yeah,
right. And I'm like secretly like opening all the windows like while people are talking to me.
Exactly.
I'm like, don't mind me. I'm just getting some ventilation going.
Like, I'm hot. I'm like freezing. It's like 0 degrees outside.
Yeah, like anytime we had anyone in our apartment, like. If I would have someone like come here and color my hair because I didn't want to go out, I would just like leave like the terrace door open and the front door open. And like, it would be like windy in the apartment.
Right. It's also just like, I don't know, at this stage, it's not a like purity test whether or not you got COVID, but I think people like us who absolutely had the privilege to not need to expose ourselves or others. I'm just feeling pretty like proud that like I don't know anyone personally that got COVID. Again, I'm not saying if you did, you messed up. It was pretty random, but like, oh, I'm just relieved that I didn't have to go through that. And like, after getting the first vax and now Mike's got his first one and like, whew, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who got COVID got it like in the very beginning,
right?
Like when it was like unclear how you could actually protect yourself.
Yes.
But I actually don't think I know anyone who like, really, is that true? I don't know.
It's funny because I was getting my haircut recently and I heard a guy was like being, if you ever get your hair cut next to a guy, I always just feel for the poor like hairstylist just asking her. But he was asking her, do you know anyone got COVID? And she was like, no, I don't actually. And then he asked, do you know anyone who know anyone? And I knew where he was going, like trying to
it's not
I
real.
Don't know. I was like, we are in the East Village, sir.
Yeah.
This flex does not work here.
Also, go to Nebraska.
Even talking during your haircut in general is always like a yes or no situation. Like
right. Right. If she's not talking back, then you can shut it down.
Oh, man.
So in other news, coming into some pretty upsetting headlines today. So over the weekend, the nation learned of two instances of police brutality, maybe more. I mean, they're always surfacing, frankly. The one that took place over the weekend resulted in the death of Dante Wright, who was just 20 years old. So we're recording at 11 a.m., we're expecting updates from outside Minneapolis this hour and throughout the day about what exactly happened during the traffic stop. So just keep that in mind as we're going through. However, with the information that we have, and we'll say this as we go through, it's hard to imagine a situation that would have justified this. I think we're all aware now that very little justify something like this. So let's talk about what we do know. What we do know is that Dante was driving with his girlfriend when he was stopped for a traffic violation. At some point during that stop, officers determined that Dante had an outstanding arrest warrant. According to the ACLU of Minnesota, that warrant was for a non-felony, to whatever extent that is relevant. Apparently, when police tried to place Dante under arrest, he re-entered the vehicle, and it's at that point, it seems, an officer shot him. The car drove for several blocks before stopping. I've seen this written as then Dante drove several blocks like he was trying to escape. He had been shot. So no, the car drove away somehow. I mean, if a person's behind the wheel. This is so gruesome, but in the killing that took place in DC a couple weeks ago of the Uber Eats driver, that also looked like a scenario where he died as a result of something happening while he was in the car and like the car accelerating. Doesn't look like that's what's happened here, but something happened immediately after the gunshot. And we'll learn. I mean, I'm sure you have a certain reaction in your body when you are shot at. But we don't know exactly what caused the car to travel. It did hit another car, which resulted in some injuries to his girlfriend in the car, but she is okay, we believe. So while he was being pulled over, Dante actually called his mother. He had recently been given the car as a gift from his family. So it seems he knew he was being stopped and he called her to ask about the insurance information, as you would if you were stopped, you would want to make sure you had that. He said he believed on the phone with his mother at that time that he was being pulled over because of air fresheners on his mirror that she had recently gave him. She said she heard scuffling until a few minutes later when she called back and heard that her son had been shot. Dante's mother, her name is Katie Wright, said that her son's body had been left on the ground for hours. After this, National Guardsmen descended onto Brooklyn Center almost immediately. They were already deployed in the area because of the Chauvin trial. So some stores were looted this morning. Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott instituted a curfew and that ended at 6 a.m. on Monday, but people were only out until about 1 a.m. this morning. Near the scene, Katie Wright urged mourners to demonstrate peacefully. She said all violence, and this is like hours after she learns her 20-year-old son has been shot dead. She still manages to say all the violence, if it keeps going, it's only going to be about the violence. We need it to be about why my son got shot for no reason. We need to make sure it's about him and not about smashing police cars, because that's not going to bring my son back.
What is wrong with these people?
The officers?
The officers.
Yeah.
Like, the whole world, hopefully, people who are watching, is watching Minneapolis right now. They're watching a trial, and you would think, like, oh, we're going to behave. Like, we're not going to, like, I don't understand. Like, it's impunity. That's what it is. Like, mm-hmm, they just think that, I can't even imagine the pain of that mother. Like, it is so sad.
And I mean, the name has not been confirmed by, I don't even think, the police yet. I mean, the reason we know this is because she ran out of her home and tried to find her son. And like, when things happen, when devastating things happen like this, there is that like really surreal moment that usually, I haven't been through anything even remotely like this, but I've been around people who have like overdosed, for instance, and there's always these moments that are like, oh my God, like this is happening. And they feel it's like, we're alone. Their cops are like, nobody's here yet. There's that moment where it's just like, can you imagine how surreal? She's just there waiting for somebody to acknowledge that her son has died and for this to become real. And this is the time where people are recording her and she's like the main spokesperson for what's happened. And that is because, like we said, there's still not a lot of information that we know. They're going to speak this morning. But as I said, when we open, based on the information we have so far, it's really hard to imagine a scenario that justifies killing a 20-year-old man at a traffic stop based on what we know right now. Number one, it's unclear why he even needed to exit the car in the first place. You don't have to leave the car when you're generally pulled over for speeding, although that is my experience as a white woman.
Unless they think that you're drinking.
Yes, right. Yeah. The police have made a statement that the officers were wearing body cameras that they believe were on, and the dash cameras were on, and that footage should all come out. The cops haven't said that yet, but advocacy groups say that footage should not only be detailed in writing, but should be released so that we all can see what happened. And obviously, as Sammy said, this event was amplified by the Derek Chauvin trial that happened just 10 miles away from the scene. I mean, like you said, Sammy, it's like, aren't they not getting pep talks every day? Like,
isn't it just when something like that is going on around you in your community, especially in a community like Minneapolis, it's not like it's not like there's a trial in the East Village, like, and then, you know, I don't understand. Yeah, like,
there is just no justification, obviously, for pulling a gun on this person. Like, there's no reason that they needed to. They for some reason, it seems like they went to the ultimate action before trying. Like, they have other means of disarming people. Like, we'll talk about pepper spraying and all other things, like, if that's necessary. But I think, you know, like, on both sides, police officers and, you know, people who are paying attention to the trial, who are, you know, against police brutality, are on edge. And I think police officers are just as on edge right now, too, because they're seeing this trial as well. And I think that for the first time in a long time, people are talking about the fact that at this trial, you know, police officers are testifying against Derek Chauvin to a certain extent, like saying he used too much force. And I think they're maybe they're not used to that. They're not used to this idea that they're not they can act with impunity, because, I mean, there's no verdict, obviously, yet. But who knows what's going to happen. But I think just even this part so far is, you know, probably they're probably just everyone is just on edge, especially right there, you know.
Well, also, if they had a warrant for his arrest, why not just arrest him? Like just because someone has there's a warrant for someone's arrest does not mean that, like, you then are entitled to shoot them.
Right. And it does not mean that this, like, whatever the warrant was for, but like I said, it was clearly not for a felony, and it's not okay. You can detain people who could even be violent in a number of nonviolent ways. That's literally your fucking job. I don't know why that can't happen, but it's like, you can have an arrest warrant because you had a speeding ticket and you couldn't show that day. Like, you can have an arrest warrant for, like, trillions of things that are not, that don't mean you're cause a threat to the police stopping you.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, well, I probably have so many parking tickets from when I lived in LA that I need to, like, go check out, because I don't remember whatever happened to those. But it's like, I just think also, like, I think when we view, like, he's 20 years old, he's a kid. And it's that's what's just so upsetting, that they were able to see, they probably see how young he was, and they still treated him this way. You know, like, if it was a white person or even like a 25-year-old white man, they would probably still have this idea of, like, oh, well, he's just a young kid, you know, but.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so it's just like, being 20 years old, he was a kid. He called his mom because he probably didn't know what to do with his insurance. I was thinking, I was like, I probably would have called my mom in that situation too, and be like, I don't know what car insurance is. It's like, so, like, that aspect of it too, it's just so upsetting. It's just, they need to be accountable.
Also, you know, happens when, like, Jacob Blake just happened and almost died, and that was only similar to the extent that he was re-entering the car and did not pose a threat in that second, and they just reacted because they view black men as dangerous, which it's hard to even say black men, because, like you said, he was 20, and, like, we already know that people perceive black people as being, like, older or more mature, and that's a problem in itself, but, like, this kid looked 20. Like, he did look 20 years old. He did not look threatening. And I have you guys seen more about how, like, apparently people are pulled over for having too many air fresheners all the time? And that's, like, an
I've never heard of that in my life.
I think that's something that, like, cops harass primarily black people about. But I think there's...
Is that against the law?
I think they can say that it obstructs, like Brian said.
Yeah.
It's a terrible reason. It's a ridiculous reason to pull somebody over.
The city of Minneapolis is going to be so broke from the money they're going to have to keep paying out these families. Not that I feel bad for them.
Right. This tragic event was obviously amplified not just by the trial, but because over the weekend, there was sort of another viral instance of a police mistreatment of a black person. This happened last year, but there was video over the weekend. Army Lieutenant Caron Nazario was pulled over last year in Virginia. After a patrol car activated its sirens and emergency lights, he was scared to pull over. He was on a dark side road, so he put his blinkers on to try to signal to the cops, like, I'm cooperating, I'm going to pull over. And so then he went into a well lit gas station. Nazario is black and Latino, and he was scared for his life this whole time. And I'll note, he was wearing army fatigues this whole time because he's in the army. At this point, two officers approach Nazario in the gas station, guns drawn or tasers drawn, yelling at him to get out of the car, threatening him, and without telling him why he'd been pulled over. At one point, Nazario said, I'm honestly afraid to get out. And response, one of the officers said, yes, you should be. He was then pepper sprayed, punched, handcuffed, and interrogated. He needed medical treatment, and he is now suing on the basis that his constitutional rights were violated through the excessive use of force and unlawful search. Basically, he had temporary tags that I guess were reason enough. He had like temporary tags, and they felt like his windows were too dark. And those two things together were like, I guess we'll pull this guy over. And they clearly could determine that the tags were temporary and legit when they still were asking him to come out. And as I was thinking when I was writing about these two together is that what both these encounters have in common is that these two men did not feel safe exiting their vehicles. And for one of them, it ended up costing him his life, because in that moment, he's probably made a calculation. I mean, every Black person is probably making those calculations all of the time. Like, is this more likely to kill me to stay in my car and try to avoid this police officer? Or is it more likely if I get out and I do expose myself to them?
Joy Reid tweeted that she like that she is like terrified of being pulled over or like encountering any cops. And it's like, yeah, of course. It's literally like a game of Russian roulette. Mm-hmm. When you are a person of color and the cops, you encounter the cops in any scenario. Like, they don't even need to be specifically pulling you over.
Clearly. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I was like, man, is it safer to live somewhere you have to walk? No, because you can just get harassed and stopped if you're walking too.
You can't run.
You can't.
You can't run on the side of the road, yeah. And what's even crazier about this story, too, is that this happened in December. Mm-hmm. And
yes, exactly.
You know, the video went viral this past weekend, and there was already an internal investigation. The police officer who did this was only fired after this video went viral. So it's like it needed the attention. So it's just like, of course, this is why there needs to always be accountability and public disclosure of information, because we know that internal investigations are not handling it themselves at this point.
There is a big call in the wake of what's happened outside Minneapolis to make sure that this is investigated by a group that will not have bias and is independent to figure out what happened. Like we said, there is body camera footage. It's hard to imagine a situation where he posed a threat, but I just don't know. This with the shootings, it's just so jarring that it's like as we started the show, it's like we have this sense that it's like Biden's president now. We're getting back into like, I don't know why there's a part of my brain that thought that would result in a general sense of peace and well-being for everybody. But like, of course, all that's changed is that the asshole at the very top is not in the picture at this second. That is all that's changed. The rhetoric he left behind has resulted in these brutal attacks of Asian Americans. Of like, you're right, Brian, this happened in December. And then this kid was killed yesterday while the George Floyd trial is happening. And people are saying, numerous police officers are saying on TV, like, yeah, you can't just kill a Black person because you were a little scared. And then it happened again. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, at least with Biden, it's like, okay, you're not going to tweet us into a war. And also, like, at least he does care. Like, at least he doesn't agree that, like, Black people should just be shot at. Like, whereas
he acknowledges that there's a problem.
The
last one didn't even acknowledge that there was a problem.
No, he was Biden, like, this is good.
There's a problem.
He was like, this is how it should be. Yeah.
Like, use more force.
Yeah, I mean, our problems are deeply ingrained.
There just needs to be a, you know, overhaul of the way police officers are trained in this country. Sensitivity, de-escalation, it's not...
And who is attracted to being an officer? Because, mm-hmm. like, it really does seem like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you read the statistics about, like, you know, what percentage of officers are, like, found to have, like, domestic violence incidents. It's like, why do these people want to be in this profession? Like, are they pursuing the profession because it gives them a sense of, like, a free pass and access to weapons?
Yeah, there's definitely a very decent... I mean, think about it. It's like, it requires education, but I don't think you have to have pre-existing education. It takes care of you and your family after you're gone, and you get to, like, pretend you're on a video game, which is, I'm sure, a lot of how these people feel. I'm sure a majority, like we say all the time, I've been like listening to this SVU recap podcast. And so I've been rewatching some of the episodes, and obviously I've been rethinking as an SVU stan, how much it sort of makes the police overly sympathetic. But there was one episode where Mariska Hargitay's character, she has to disarm a black man in like a very extreme scenario that like has never happened in real life, but she shoots him with rubber bullets in the ribs and he's completely disarmed and they can take him in. So it's like, what the fuck? Why aren't we, what is happening? Why aren't you doing that all of the time? Right. I mean, with Lieutenant, with the Army Lieutenant, I think that they had tasers, but tasers are not acceptable to use on people that aren't a threat either. And they can cause damage too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really brings even more intensity to the trial happening this week. And I believe this week at the earliest is when the defense is going to start calling some witnesses, potentially wrap up. I think as early as today, we might hear from George Floyd's brother, which especially on a day to day, like today is going to be a pretty tough watch. But Sammy, I'm sure you'll be recapping.
That's why I'm fondling my microphone because I still need to review days 9 and 10 from last week. So I'm getting ready to do it.
I was seeing that on Friday, the medical examiner who at the time determined it was homicide basically repeated all of that and just like batted away any suggestion that it was related to his heart or drugs alone. And that was a big blockbuster moment. So we'll be looking forward to your recaps and a lot of intensity in that area. The state did just say that they're going to deploy more National Guard to deal with what they call civil unrest. They were basically tear gassing and using like minor things that exploded on people just for no reason yesterday outside of like apartment complexes where kids live. So you'd think, like Brian said, that with all eyes on them, they would be extra careful. But everybody be safe if you're participating in the protests out there. So pivoting to, I feel like our royal stories always meet us on Monday. It makes me happy. But Prince Philip has died. He died at age 99 late last week. We wanted to cover this because there's been a little bit of drama around whether Meghan will go or not for no reason. She's very pregnant. Makes perfect sense. She wouldn't go if your doctor
said
not to.
She lucked out on that timing.
She did kind of luck out. Like, I'm sure she's not like, I'm sure she wasn't like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, I feel, well, if I'm her, I'd probably be like so anxious about Harry going and like, I would just still be very anxious, but I'd be happy that I did I myself did not have to go because it's not casual. It's not like you just show up for an hour. Like you have to do all these outfit changes and like to go to like thousands of things.
Yeah. I presume he will be in and out of there though, because he also has a good excuse to leave. He's like, I have a very pregnant wife at home. I have to get back and a child. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just funny. Like people will use anything to sort of blame it on her.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. I mean, yeah, Fox News anchors were blaming her and the other women. It's just funny because it's like, yeah, life tragically cut short at age 99.
Yeah.
Only he had a couple more years. What a tragedy. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know why people can't hold that, like, he made a lot of mistakes. Like, you're on the earth for 99 years. You're not going to be perfect. It's very strange to me that when somebody dies at the mere suggestion that not every moment of their life was perfect, people are like, you disrespectful asshole. It's like, people act like they're the only person that ever had a grandparent die. It's like, we've all had grandparents die. It was sad. This man still did some weird shit.
He's not even just a grandparent. He's like a great grandparent. He was 99. He's lived a very luxurious, long, peaceful, mostly easy, probably peaceful life. So I have been feeling ever since the Meghan Markle interview with Oprah, I never really gave too much attention to like the non-scripted versions of the royal family, if you know what I mean. Like I love like The Crown. I always love The Crown, all that stuff, but like the tabloid-esque versions of it, not really much. But I've been just standing Meghan Markle more lately. I don't know. She's really badass. And it's like, I was like, it'd be funny to like make a movie. No one steal this. I'm trademarking it right now. But if like this, like based around it, but it's kind of like a fiction. It's like a, you know, a Hollywood, like the CIA recruits a Hollywood actress to seduce and marry the prince to bring down the monarchy. It's very like American Patriot, you know?
Oh, that's an interesting, you know, it, like kind of like an Inglourious Basterds-esque alternative.
Yes.
Storyline. I like that. I like
trademark.
That. No one steal it. No one steal it.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Finally, today, we'll do a little check-in on somehow still Representative Matt Gaetz. So we've been giving daily updates on this in our newsletter and Instagram. Don't always want to dedicate a whole podcast episode to this asshole, though I'm sure we could all just vent for 40 minutes a day about him and what he represents. But there's a headline today that's just too good to pass up on the podcast. So Donald Trump apparently denied Matt Gaetz a personal meeting last week. Two people familiar with the matter said that Gaetz tried to schedule a visit with Trump after it was first revealed that he was being investigated. So this was like pretty recently. This request was rejected by aides close to the former president, who determined that it wouldn't be a good look for Trump.
Matt Gaetz
is too toxic for even Donald Trump.
Wow.
That's like a new low.
A new low.
The devil won't even accept him into hell.
I feel like he was too lazy to do the meeting. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
He was just like, I don't care. And then it was interpreted by the media as like, too bad for even Trump. Probably is like texting Gaetz like, I was just busy, man. It's fine.
Right. He probably just didn't want to do the meeting. Like, there's no way that, like, he drew the line at Matt Gaetz.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, who knows? Who knows what goes through that man's head?
Didn't he, like, speak at Mar-a-Lago? Gaetz?
He did. Right. So over the weekend was, like, a bunch of stuff at Mar-a-Lago. And so Gaetz spoke for, like, the Women for Trump event.
Right.
And so he was down there. So one of Gaetz's spokesmen said, like, well, actually, Matt's just hanging out in Florida for fun. He didn't ask to meet. He said that Rep Gaetz was welcome to Trump Doral this week and has not sought to meet with President Trump himself. Instead, Gaetz has mostly been relaxing with his fiance while he's on recess.
While he's in the middle of a trafficking investigation.
Right. It's like, we're all welcomed. They probably just mean like, you're allowed to come. We're open. Yeah.
Right. Like, what was there a ceremony for you, Matt? Like, this is just... You know, I really just hope he gets kicked out of Congress. I don't think he will, though.
No.
Fun fact, Matt Gaetz's fiance's name is Ginger Lucky, which is just
It's
very really funny. Elise said that in a recent podcast, and I was like, did you just make that up? It sounds like a George Glass kind of thing. Like, you just made up, like, two words that sound like a hot woman.
He only knows, like, women who...
But you can tell that someone in that statement they said fiance. They're like, they're really trying to push this woman out there right now, but without saying her name.
Right, exactly. It's like, he has a fiance, therefore he could never sex traffic a minor.
When's the wedding, Matt? Because if I remember correctly, he was like trying to flirt with Tiffany Trump like weeks before this engagement.
For sure. They met in March 2020, which was literally when the pandemic started.
Well, they didn't do the pandemic, so.
That's true. That's fair enough. It was irrelevant. It was irrelevant.
It is funny to think how there are like fully just some people who just didn't do the pandemic.
It is very strange.
And there's like obviously a lot of people who did, but there's also those who did not.
When we're always like, oh, when it reopens and we can like go to Florida, and when Florida reopens, like Florida's been that way. Like, you can go anytime. Nothing is changing for them. It's
Florida,
fine.
The den of iniquity.
I feel like that's why it was an issue when it opened it up to out-of-staters, because people from Florida were like, we've been lit the whole time. Like, we're cool. But then you invited everybody over there who had been shut down.
That was the mistake.
That was the mistake. That is our show today. We will be watching these stories and, of course, updating you tomorrow. Please check out. We have a lot of new merch in the Sup shop that we're really excited about. A new sweatshirt Sam and I were talking about this morning. It should drop soon. It's going to be a really good one. There is a mug that says "Until the End of Democracy," which is for the diehards. Check that out. It's all at Betches. Oh, I love it. You got it. It's a very good volume.
Here's what's good about this mug. It's bigger than all the other mugs. So there's like a lot of, it's taller.
Here's the thing. It's big enough that volume. I will drink my cold brew out of it. I drink my starter cold brew. I drink like my cold brew that starter I drink just cold. To like literally get myself like alive in the morning. And then I drink like a drip coffee later.
I forgot also, to do that alive coffee and I'm feeling it.
Really? Oh, Sammy. It was 11:30.
I had hot water with lemon because I read this book.
What?
It was a mistake.
All right. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.